Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour back in our Father's Word, the first book of Peter. We're going to get into it here in a moment. We're going to start with about chapter 1, verse 20. Remember what was said back in verse 18. You were not redeemed with silver or gold. You were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you believe that, always remember that back in verse 4 of this same chapter, you have a place reserved already in heaven. It's there for you if you are a believer. It's not going to be prepared for you. It's already reserved. So our Father has foreknowledge that we do not have necessarily. So it is something to really celebrate and to know that His crucifixion, His paying that price, redeems all who will believe. So having said that, the word of wisdom from our Father, chapter 1, 1 Peter, verse 20, let's go with it. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He was revealed. The truth is revealed. And you know, as we continue closer to the end, God continues revealing more truth. That's what revelation means, is the revealing or the uncovering. But I want you to take comfort from the fact that God foreordained salvation for those that will believe. That was the whole idea, to have His children love Him and follow Him. Verse 21, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. He brought Him into the very presence of our Father at the right hand. And of course, He being Emmanuel, God with us. Verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, that means genuine, love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. You do it earnestly. Don't play games with God. He is for real. And certainly, do you understand again how, you know, when you live in this world and you walk in this world, you're going to get dust on you. Okay. That's why Christ washed the feet of the disciples, is He's the one that can cleanse you. He's the one that can purify you. So it is true that you purify yourself by obeying the truth through the Holy Spirit, as that Holy Spirit brings it to us. And naturally, that then also from the Word of God. The Word of God never changes. It didn't change from the first earth age. It's not going to change in this earth age. And it will not change in the earth age to come. Our Father's Word is always set. And that's why you never waste your time absorbing it. Because it's going to be with you forever and ever and ever. So how precious it is to have yourself purified and to have that pure heart. How do you get there? 23. Being born again from above, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptibility by the Word of God. How do you do that? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That Word is forever, as I stated. It's not going to change. And, you know, you can understand why Christ would, when people would ask Him questions, He would say occasionally, hey, haven't you ever read it? It's in the Word. And the Word never changes, my addition there. So I'm sure it was frustrating a little bit why people wouldn't study It wouldn't absorb in the simplicity in which he would bring it forth. It would seem that man likes to stir the water and muddy it up until the clear bottom is difficult to see sometimes. You don't want to do that. That's traditions of men. That's why it is written, they will make void the word of God. So stay with the word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. It's that simple. And God's Holy Spirit will always guide you through it. Verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. What does it do? The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. In other words, your flesh body is not going to be here forever. But your spiritual body is eternal. Why? Well, back to verse 4. He has a place reserved for your spiritual body. You're simply traveling through here. And there you have a home, a beautiful home. And again, reserved and prepared for ordained from many years ago. Let's go with the next verse then, verse 25 to complete the chapter. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. When you have the real word preached to you, when you receive that real word, then certainly it is forever. That's why you can love our Father. That's why you can depend upon Him. He doesn't change. You know, people will kind of maybe change on you a little bit as time here and effects there. God doesn't change. That's why it's so profitable to study His Word, to understand it, whereby you receive the blessings. And ultimately, that place reserved, it's got your name on it if you've purified yourself through the Word of God. It just doesn't get any better than that, my friend. There was, you might say, well, it said you couldn't buy that with silver or gold. No, He paid the price for you. Do you know why He paid the price for you? Do you know why He was crucified on the cross? It was to destroy death, but mainly because He loves you. But He does want that love returned. So see that you let Him know. Talk to Him. That's what prayer is. And let Him know you love Him for having set these things, for having made the reservation, as it stated in verse 4 of this same chapter. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift. And certainly so very generous and love overflowing from our Father. Then you can understand that old saying back in verse 8. What was it? With joy unspeakable and full of glory. It just doesn't get any better, my friend. So love your Father. Love the Son. It was all foreordained long ago. Have you read it? Have you read it with understanding, with clarity, in the simplicity in which Christ teaches it? Chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. You don't have time for it. Why would you want to mess with it when you have the glory of God with you? You don't need it. Life is too short for that. You know, if people want to moan and groan and complain, let them do it somewhere else. You don't have time for it in your life. We have too much to celebrate, is the joy of serving the living God. Then certainly when you have people that will, it takes away from, it's a big negative to have guile or envies or to envy what somebody else has when you've got the same thing. It's reserved for you. No need to envy somebody. Get your act together and inherit it. It's yours. And when you purify yourself with the Word of God, you've got it coming. So, but I mean, you've seen people that just love to delve in to all of those things mentioned there in that first verse. They gossip this, that, the other. They're just not happy campers. And they will never be happy because they don't enjoy the reservation that God has for them, nor do they look forward to it. Verse 2, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the Word. That means the truth. That means the acceptable Word, that you may grow thereby. You long for it. Long for the truth. Search for it. Dig it out. And the main thing is, when you relax and let the Holy Spirit guide you, then these revelations will be revealed and uncovered right before your very eyes in your own mind. But you must, a babe will believe anything that someone that they love tells them. That's the mark of a child or a babe. They ask questions. But you need to come to that same place when you talk to the Father. Believe His Word. Accept His Word. It is the best thing you'll ever find in this world, is the gift that God gives you. And certainly, when you become as a newborn babe, to ask those questions of Him, of His Word, you're in for a blessing. Verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I mean, He is kind. He's not, you've heard me say it before, He doesn't wake up every morning wondering, who am I going to zap today? It's His family. It's His children. He rather says, who can I help today? Who will ask? Who will allow? And, and just think about it. There He has all these places reserved for those that will. And then He sees them snuff at it. It's got to hurt. And that's why when you do turn and become as a newborn, thirsting for that truth, longing for it, that He so willingly gives it to you. Verse 4 to continue. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And that stone was rejected by a lot of people. Rejected to the point they crucified Him. He is the head cornerstone. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones, that's stones you build with, are built up a spiritual house. So you get it done. You can build it. And holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What is an acceptable sacrifice? Love. To let Him know you love Him. As it's written in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, I do not want your burnt offerings. I want your love. That's what He wants from you. And share that with Him. But you are not dead stones. And this is maybe a play on Peter's name, Cephas Aramaic, Peter Petra, which is rock. And, of course, the main rock is the Lord Jesus Christ, as mentioned here. And but you're alive. And Well, of course I am. Metabolism is going in my system. I'm not talking about that body. I'm talking about your spiritual body, your body that is eternal, that has that reservation. It's not your flesh body that has that reservation. It's your spiritual body that overcomes, that lives, that builds. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, it's written, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And there you have Isaiah 28:16, our Father's words. Verse 7, Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, and the same is made the head of the corner. And so it is, too, that God, that stone is going back in place. If you visualize a pyramid, that top stone is the capstone. Okay. And when you understand that our Father has that stone, but it's building, and you're a part of the building, don't leave yourself out. Count yourself in. You have reservations there. Remember verse 4 of chapter 1. They're there for you. Okay. Verse 8. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, this confuses many people. How could Christ be a stumbling stone? And it's really quite simple. They have not studied God's word, which purifies you. That is to say, like all seven trumps, to know the chronological order in which they fall. That Christ doesn't return until the true rock, the true stone, does not return until the seventh trump. But then their belief in that stone of the seventh trump, where they have not studied God's word, at the sixth trump have the fake show up. He claims to be a rock. He claims to be Christ. And he claims he's going to fly you away. He's get in his wagon. And many that love the Lord will stumble in simply the shallow belief they have in him, thinking they're following the true Christ. They're in bed with Satan. That's not a good place to be. That reservation you had in verse 4, out the window. It's gone. You blew it. You were deceived. Why? Because you did not accept the stone, which is the whole. What is Christ? He's the living Word. That Word became, as chapter 1, St. John, the Word became flesh and walked among us. You refuse that Word, you're in a heap of hurt, friend. So, therefore, take your time. Enjoy the Word of God. Be a part of the Word of the God. Claim what is yours, that reserved part, and keep it there for yourself. Let's go with the next verse, please. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, and that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's calling. He calls you there to show you. Why? A chosen generation, meaning the generation of the fig tree that must make that stand against those even that stumble at the rock, to make the stand, to allow the Spirit to speak through you, whereby many people will find salvation. They will turn to the truth. Many of you have planted seeds that you thought didn't grow. But when you're delivered up, they're going to say, whoa, wait. He or she was telling the truth. And there it is. That truth is right before them. And they can see that marvelous light, the light of Almighty God that distills the darkness and brings you into the truth. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You receive it when you accept the truth, the living stone, and become a living stone yourself, not dead. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living eternal. Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, as desires which war against the soul. Now, why is he saying strangers and pilgrims? Because you're just passing through. Our eternal home is with him, and with him in heaven, and how precious it is to be a part of that. You know, our nation is a fantastic nation. It's a precious thing that is God allowed, a superpower of superpowers here in the end times. It gets dented, but don't worry, God will kick the dents out of it. It'll be just fine. Now, next verse, please. Verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. They're going to make it just fine. Whomsoever will, God is there for them. It's open. The reservation is there. Claim it. Live it. For we're not playing church. It is very real. He paid an awesome price. He purchased you with his blood on the cross. You're paid for in full when you believe. And when you make a stand that sets you apart from other people that are deceived. He knows that you're elect. And as Peter was addressing this book to the elect that show all people how to overcome. By what? By their works. Not by their faith alone, but by their works as they do study and share and live and build the stones that build the very house of God. Verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. In other words, you obey the laws of the land as best you can. That's God's command to do that. Why? Because if you go by the laws of the land, obey, in our nation, that nation must guarantee you the right to broadcast around the world. It gives you that right. If you build stone on stone, person on person, you have the right, and it's guaranteed. You have license that guarantees you the right to broadcast to the world the beautiful, wonderful words of the living God. Now, many people would say, well, what if we get the wrong people in office? Easiest thing in the world That's why our nation is set up under the very word of God itself, whether people like it or not. That's what our Constitution is set up on. If somebody comes in and does something otherwise, vote them out. Get rid of them. It's that easy. You don't have to fight or contend. Just anyone that comes against this beautiful nation and its proper operation of freedom. And many of us have fought for that freedom. And we're going to see that it stays. And therefore, if somebody, you might say, well, we submitted ourselves, obey the law. But if the law should come binding, vote them out. Get rid of them. In this nation, we don't have to put up with it. We're a free born people. What does free born mean? Well, you know, you could live in a country where if you wanted to go from here, let's say, to the West Coast, you'd have to get permission. You couldn't just, well, that's hard to understand. If I want to go to the West Coast, I'm going to the West Coast. And not in every country you want. Because they're not free. You have to have permission. So, thank God we do have this free nation. We're blessed. And, you know, the sad part is, unless you've done some travel outside of this great country, maybe even fought a little for it outside of this country, it's really hard to appreciate what it is and how valuable it is. You certainly don't turn your nose up at it because it's beautiful, prepared of God to be a platform that can take God's word around the world. It's not an accident. In God we trust, and so it is that our Father is still on the throne. So when you obey law, that same law must protect you and your rights. That's common sense. Verse 14. Or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. In other words, it's going to balance out, and especially, again, I must say, in this nation, we are ever so blessed. We get to pick the people that we want to be governor. We don't just let somebody put them in office. We, the people, of the people, by the people, and for the people, we appoint them. We vote them in. And some of them we vote out. That's the beauty of it. It equalizes. How do we judge that? By God's word. Verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's the way it is. You serve him. And certainly, many people feel it's weak to pray for if it's God's will. That is really a sad state of affairs. When someone, don't you dare pray weak and pray for God's will. You demand it. God's not in a mood for people to demand things. That's not the way love works. If you truly love him, and you know he has things foreordained, you are going to ask that if it be in his will or not. Why? Because he knows what tomorrow brings. You don't. God knows what you need to accomplish the stone building. You don't. So, therefore, you always pray in God's will. And if God doesn't want you to have it, so be it. It would have been too bad for you had you received it, because it would have been out of God's will. It would have done you harm. So how great it is to love him, to follow him, to be led of him, and to know that all the time, He has foreordained our ability to find that eternal life, to build and ease into that place reserved for us, a peculiar people. Peculiar because they love God. Peculiar because they have the instinct to be led of God, and they cannot help themselves. They're going to follow God as best they can. Why? Because they know He is our Father. That's why we can call Him Yahweh, which is to say, He is what He is. He's our Father. But the love that He has for His children. You know, as many people, especially in this end time, when I believe that the third that followed Satan in the first earth age are born of woman today. They're here. Have been since 1948 that's been building. Then I know that's very hurtful to Him. Because He has these reservations. He has it prepared. And they reject it. Because man thinks he knows so much sometimes. And so it is. It is, you have atheists and many other people that try to remove God's name even from every record. It's a wonderful thing that God will not allow it. He certainly will not. And He will laugh them to derision before it's over. They will all know our Father is God. Okay, don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be found in the Scriptures. With the assistance of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldee, or Greek in which God's Word was written. The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strong's Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
And there we are. Back again. Let's have the 800 number. And 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, got a question, share it. It's always good to hear from you. I want to make an announcement. We will be taking communion the very next time that this live broadcast repeats, which is tomorrow's broadcast. Many of you, it will be even on Monday. That's okay. Have the ingredients ready, the bread and the wine, or grape juice, whatever you choose, and be ready to take the table of the Lord. It is that time of the year at Passover when you partake of that Lamb of God, that the death angel must go over your family, that you're protected, that God loves you. He sees to that. All right, those of you that have a question around the world, you might remember, do not ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination or organization. We're not going to judge people. We do not have that right. God is the judge. We do have the right for spiritual discernment. So use it to the best of your ability. It's a gift from God to know truth when you hear it, and fiction that you must cast to the side. And thank Him for that gift. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, I want to make comment that we are so thankful for the internet and our site, that it goes into 50 to 75 countries. And China itself being number three, the U.S., Canada, and then China, students of God's Word, and then all the rest of the way around the world, it, they log on and study the Word. We thank our Father for that. It is good to build into those building blocks of the end times that God brings forth. Now, got a prayer request? You don't need that number and you don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. He really does. You don't even have to say it out loud. He's got time for you. You know, I repeat this quite often, but you're different. Your fingerprints are different. Your DNA is different. You're unique. You're what God created. He wanted somebody just like you. But He wants you to love Him. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank You, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Pamela from California. Isaiah chapter 11, 6 and 7, where it says, a child will lay down with a lion. I thought we were all the same age in spiritual bodies. Can you explain if there will be children there also? Negative. It is, you know, that is a figure of speech. That means you can be safe there. There is one other figure of speech that is used for that same purpose. It says that on the main street, an elderly couple can sit on the front porch. But, you know, you don't do that in a war-torn country. It means that it will be safe there. And also it means that where they all animals are in spiritual bodies also. There are no carnivores. Therefore, there is nothing there to offend. And simply it means an adult wouldn't have to guide a child playing with a snake, because the snake can't bite them. All right? It's safe. Diane from Ohio. There will be no children in spiritual bodies. We're all the same age. And age means nothing to a spiritual body. That's why all angels that have appeared look like young people. Why? Because spiritual bodies don't age for an eternity. Diane from Ohio. Someone told me that if I am not tempted by Satan, that I am not really saved. Well, you know, have you read that in God's Word? You haven't. I know you haven't. Then be very careful what people may say that you can't document in God's Word. Now, it is true that as one of God's elect, that if Satan gets an opportunity, he may try to tempt you. But as it is written in the great book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 18, God has given us power even over Satan. He better run from you. He has a right to, because in Christ's name, we have that power over him. And so it is. Cher from Tennessee. Is the millennium reign one day or an actual 1,000 years? Well, it's 1,000 years, which is one day with the Lord. That's why it is called the Lord's Day. When we get to 2 Peter, in chapter 3, verse 10, it's going to tell you about the Lord's Day. And it is a precious time. But that is simply when we have the opportunity for God to lead and change, whereby somebody has a right to follow Him and to hear the real truth. You know, there will be people in this earth age that never had the opportunity to hear the truth. And God's not going to condemn. He's a God of love. He's not going to condemn someone to death that never had a chance, whether it was handicap, whether it was something mental or something else, okay? Holly from Canada, I'm concerned about loved ones who has already died. Are they in the Gulf awaiting the great white throne judgment, or are they still waiting for this judgment, or are they with Jesus? Please help me to understand this. Holly, it is a common thing that people worry about those that have gone on. Listen, they're in the hands of God. I can't judge and you can't judge as to where they are. But the important thing is they're where they're supposed to be. And our Father is on the throne. He's not going to turn loose of them. If they didn't have an opportunity to hear the full truth, they're going to. And that's why in the millennium, when you read chapter 20, verse 5, we are priests for 1,000 years with Christ. Well, what does a priest do? A priest preaches. A priest teaches. Well, who are you going to teach in the millennium? Those that need it. Those that need a little discipline and so forth. Lorraine from North Carolina. When we die, does a portal open for our soul to travel to the dimension God is in? Is the soul frightened when it is traveling through? Do they always receive help getting through on the journey or what? Well, as a pastor of many years and having been at the bedside of somebody in the transition of death, I've never seen a frown or a frightened look on the face of someone making that. I'm not going to say there is a portal, but God sends many times a loved one that person trusts to take them on through. I have witnessed this. Could I see the person that died 15 years or more before? No, I couldn't. But I knew the person, having been a student of mine or an associate, to recognize in their eyes the recognition, the communication. I could hear only one side of that communication. But I know our Father makes it possible. Why? He loves His children. And for a Christian, there's nothing frightening about it. Different, yes, it's an experience that we only experience one time, but everybody's going to experience it. Joanne from Florida, where in the Bible does it state that we are not to borrow money from other countries? Deuteronomy 15:6. We are to loan money if someone needs it, but we are not to borrow money from a stranger. We're not to borrow money from another country. You'll also find it in Deuteronomy 27:12. Okay, that we can loan money, but you cannot borrow money. It's against God's law. And you might say, well, why would that be? He wants you to depend on Him. He wants you to follow your law, His law of business, His law of agriculture, His law of doing all things, and receive His blessings. You don't have to borrow when you have the blessings of God. We are not to borrow from another country or give them power over us. Gary from Alabama. I've been wondering, when we pass away and get to heaven and we are in our spiritual bodies, will we still be overweight? I don't think anyone's ever seen an overweight angel. It's hard to fly that way. I jest. There is, in the first place, angels do not have wings, all right? We're made in the same image they are. This is the beauty of the body that lives eternal. It's completely healthy. This is why it is described in 1 Corinthians 15 as the fact that it can't get old, it can't get sick, and it partakes of the food God provides, and it will be, you know, if a person even is overweight now, if their spiritual body steps out, it's trim, it's beautiful, it's a perfect body. As far as illness or something of that nature. Vicki from Indiana. Ooh, this is quite long. Is it wrong if I let the congregation know about their pastor? You know, Vicki, I'm sure that all you would do is cause yourself harm if you went into that church and... Though I remember seeing this, that you they did your father your father-in-law rather ill. He was an usher there, and he got dementia, and the preacher kind of came down on him. But yet, let God take care of it. You all you're going to do if you go to before that church, he will cut you down. Okay. Most likely. So this is the beauty of being a prayer warrior. You turn it over to God and let God take care of it. A church or a pastor is one of the poorest places to plant seeds you'll ever find anywhere. It's just, you're better off to go out on the street. No, don't go there, but God will tell you where to go to plant seeds, but a church is a bad place to plant seed. They're pretty well set in their way. Eddie from Nevada. Pastor Murray, I would like to know where the story of the three wise men is in the Bible. I can't find it anywhere. I would appreciate your help. God bless you. Eddie from Nevada. Make it Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. And there you'll read of them. Finot from Georgia. I want to know what is a sacrificial love? Is there anything I can do to sacrifice love for the Father? Like to have to give up something such as money, food, and... No, that's not what he wants. Hosea 6:6. I don't want your burnt offerings. That's money. Okay. He wants your love. And love is not that difficult to define. Love generates within an entity of free will and goes outward. He could have forced you to love him, then you would have been a zombie. But he wants you to freely let him know for all he's done for us that you love him. And the reason you hear me use the term sacrificial love is in the millennium, that's the only sacrifice there's going to be. I know that in the book of Ezekiel chapter 40 to the end, which has to do with the millennium, it says they do sacrifices, but there are no blood sacrifices. Christ's blood takes care of all that. But it's love, sacrificial love to our Father. That's what he wants. That's what he's going to get. Kevin from Florida, what do Jesus' name mean? Kevin, thank you. Well, the word Jesus is, we'll say, an English word. But where does it come from? It comes from the Hebrew word Yeshua. And Yeshua means Yahweh's Savior, or God's Savior, the Savior sin of God, so that man can find salvation and inherit that place that is already set aside for them. It's there. And how precious it is. You know, our Father loves his children. He does. He has gone way out of his way to take care of the enemies. and to give us power even over our enemies if you use it. And so it is. And basically, ultimately, it takes a little time sometimes, but we finally get there. Orlando from Florida. I think maybe he lives in Orlando and is using that for a name. That's okay. Thank you for opening the door to our Father's Word. You are very welcome. Can you please tell me the chronological order of the book of Revelation? I have pondered on this question for years. Well, you know, let me oversimplify it. Well, it's not an oversimplification. Matthew 24. Christ is asked, give us the chronological order of events. And he gives all seven of them as they happen in Matthew 24. And therefore, it's real easy. Quickly, though, I can say the fifth trump is a time of teaching. We're in that now. We're knocking on the door of the sixth. And naturally, the seventh is going to come. There is a transition between six and seven that a Christian doesn't want to be caught short on. And very important. Okay, but I think that will help you. It simplifies it. He gives it all out to you there. And this would be Joyce from Georgia. My question, Pastor Murray, I'm confused about the prayer shawl. What is the significance? I have one that I received by mail. Presently, all I know about it is it's a beautiful piece of cloth. Please, if you will, I need understanding on its meaning. Well, I would imagine that when you received this power prayer shawl, that it probably said something to the extent that if you sent $100, it would put the prayer shawl into gear, okay? And if you really wanted a double blessing, send 200, you know, and the shawl would nearly dance for you. It's a bunch of malarkey, okay? God does not send out beggars. Any pastor that begs for money is not of God. I know that's a hard saying, but it's true. When God sent forth the 70, he said, hey, don't take a purse or scrip. That means don't take any money and don't take a begging bag of all things. Because if people do, he said, if they don't appreciate the word, kick the dust off your feet and get out of that town. Okay? That's the way you're supposed to. You know, God's a little picky when it comes to people loving him and following him. But how precious it is. I'm not going to apologize for preachers that beg. God will take care of them. But that's a good way for you to know. The reason that it galls me just a little bit is because they pull this on senior citizens who are about to make the transition and leave the impression they could buy their way into heaven. It's not for sale. You're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't cost anything. You know, you heard that in today's message, okay? Verses 18, 19, and 20 of chapter 1 Peter. You weren't bought with money. So you do whatever you want with it, but don't send the beggar any money, all right? Lawrence from Georgia, where can I find in the Bible, if you don't work, you don't eat? You will find if you don't work, you don't eat in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. It does say that if it is a family member, don't treat them as an enemy. But set them aside, and if they won't work, don't feed them. A lot of people say, well, that is cruel. No, that's discipline. You cannot. Now, this has nothing to do with handicapped people. We take care of handicapped people. They need to be fed. We feed them. But when it comes to a person that's healthy, got a full body, and won't work, don't feed them. They need a little discipline. And I'm sure you've heard me say it before, that between the belly button and the backbone, there's a micro switch. And the closer they get together, the more driven they are to work because they're hungry. And it'll make them get out there and hump it. And that's what God wants. There's only one way you can be healthy and wealthy and wise is to work. Okay, this would be Kelly from Texas. Do we give an offering if we happen to be at a program and find out someone has not taught the word? Is giving in an offering the same as wishing God speed? You know, I don't like to judge this because God will put a conviction on you. I can only say, read the second epistle of John. And it says there, if you even wish him Godspeed, you become a partaker of the false teaching. Not a good place to be. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But you know what? Most of all, God loves you for it. It makes his day when you cover the letter he sent you. You make his day, boy, will he make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings if we have helped you. You help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me. Listen good. You stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus Yeshua is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here.